because we've come to ponder this moment that heaven did not take lightly, nor do we either.
No event is more essential.
It's really worthy of note that there is no indication of Jesus, who had all the power in the universe at his fingertips, there's no indication that he ever used it for personal pleasure. He could have taken that hard earth and turned it into a soft bed while the other disciples were sleeping and they didn't know. He could have boomeranged the spit of the soldiers back into their face. He could have paralyzed the hand that slammed the mallet that hit the nail that pierced his arm.
And the sinless one took on the face of a sinner so we sinners could take on the face of a saint. The hands of Jesus opened up, and had the soldier hesitated, Jesus himself would have taken the hammer and driven the nails himself. He was a carpenter. He knew how. He knew what it meant to strike a nail. He was a savior. He also knew what it meant to die for men and women. The soldier thought he was swinging the hammer. He was mistaken. Heaven was. The crowd was mistaken too. They thought it was just a hand stapled to a tree. Oh, there was so much more. It was our sins. And as the hands of Jesus opened for the nail, the doors of heaven opened for sinners. Isn't that the testimony of the greatest and most famous verse in the Bible? It doesn't say, "For God so loved the rich, for God so loved the sober, for God so loved those who have never been divorced, for God so loved the Europeans or the Africans." It simply says, and we happily read, "For God so loved what? The world." Are you in the world this morning? Guess what? That means you are in God's love. There may be those times we are out of God's will, but there's never a second that we're out of God's heart. And just like the blood was put over the doorway of the children of Israel so the death angel would pass over, so we stand under the protective covering of the blood of Christ, the Lamb who came to take away the sins of the earth. That's what Jesus saw. That's what Jesus saw. And that's why he refused to close his fist. He could have, but he didn't. He knew the price of those sins was death. He knew the source of those sins was you. And when forced to choose between living without you and dying for you, he chose the nails. Joel, the prophet, was seldom more the prophet than when he said, "There are huge numbers of people in the valley of decision." But I would suggest to you this morning that any injustice about this life is offset by having the privilege of choosing where you spend the next. How will I spend eternity? That's up to me and you. If you want to see the clearest picture of choice in the Bible, look at these two crosses on the hill of Calvary. They have much in common. They're convicted by the same system, condemned to the same death, surrounded by the same crowd. Equally close to Jesus, in fact, they begin with the same sarcasm. Look, the two criminals also said cruel things to Jesus. How many of you knew that both criminals began with sarcasm? But then something happened. One changed. One of the criminals on a cross began to shout insults at Jesus. "Aren't you the King of the Jews? Then save yourself and us." But the other criminal stopped him and said, "You should fear God. You are getting the same punishment he is. We are punished justly, getting what we deserve for what we did. But this man has done nothing wrong." And then he said, "Jesus,
Remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus said to him, I tell you the truth. Today you will be with me in paradise. Could you remember me? A feeble yet honest prayer. Now much has been said about the prayer of that penitent thief, and well it should. Make a list of the most dramatic demonstrations and displays of grace in all of history. And this one has to be at the top of the list, doesn't it? Here a man has absolutely nothing to offer but a prayer in his waning moments with his final breath. But apparently the prayer in the waning moments with his final breath is enough. Incredible display of God's relentless desire to save every single soul. One good choice for eternity offsets 1,000 bad choices on earth. We know very little about the thief on the cross who prayed for forgiveness. We don't know his name. We don't know his crime. We don't know what he did. But let me ask you a question. Do you think he made some bad choices in life? I do too. Or he wouldn't have ended up where he was. He must have been with the wrong crowd. He must have chosen the wrong system of morals. But would you call his life a failure? You think right now in heaven he's walking around cumbered with regrets? No, because one good decision offset 1,000 bad decisions. What can a man give in exchange for his soul? And the converse is true. One bad choice for eternity offsets 1,000 good ones on earth. Millions this morning awake with no other priority and no other desire. If they'll do it, go down into the recess of their heart and ask them the question they don't want you to ask, and that is, but where are you going? Where are you headed? When all this is past, where are you going to anchor? Where are you going to dock? There's no answer. And 1,000 good decisions, respectable decisions, right choices, are lost because they haven't stopped to think, but after I breathe my final breath, where will I be? Now, which one's wiser? The one who makes a lifetime of bad decisions but makes that one good one? Or the one who makes 1,000 good ones but never deals with the big one? Have you dealt with it? You see, if you remove the cross from history, you remove the hinge pin from the door of hope, the door of your hope. If there is no cross, then there is no resurrection. If there is no resurrection, then there is no resurrection of your life. If there is no cross, then there is no crucifixion. If there is no crucifixion, there is no sacrifice for sin. How then will you face a holy God on the day of judgment if there is no substitution for your sin? But in the cross, we find an answer to our death. We find an answer to our sin. The two greatest questions that any person has ever asked. And both are answered in the greatest event that has ever occurred. You wear them around your neck. You put them on the top of steeples. You put them in rings. But has the cross really come to take up a place in your heart?
I'm giving you my heart and all that lay it all down for the sake of you, my King. I'm giving you my dream. I'm laying down my rights. I'm giving up my pride for the promise of you. And I surrender all to you, all to you. And I surrender all to you, all to you. I'm singing you this song, waiting at the cross, and all the world holds dear, count it all as lost for sake of knowing.
Our wonderful Savior, it is finished.